Shvatim, the heads of your Shvatim, Ziknechem v'shaytreichem, your elders and your enforcers, your policemen. So Rashi says over here, why is this parasha, parasha's mitzvah, right next to the klolos of last week's parasha? Because Klal Yisrael heard 98 klolos, besides the 48 in Teres Kahanim and parashas Bechukosai. When they heard that, their faces changed color. Va'amru, miyuchalamet be'elu, who could ever survive these? So Moshe Rabbeinu started appeasing them. He said, Atan yitzavim ayayim, you're still standing here today. Harvei hichastem lamokim, God HaKadosh Baruch Hu angry, many times v'layosti yitchem kloya. And he never destroyed you, so you don't have to worry. The famous question is, the clothes were meant to scare clouds. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not a vatra. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he says he's going to do something, he does something. So, and there was a major purpose for the clothes. So why is Moshe Rabbeinu over here appeasing them? Don't worry, it's not really so bad. You're standing here still today. You'll stand weiter. It's not really so serious. What's the pshat Moshe Rabbeinu? So Leib Chasman says that the purpose of the klolos, the purpose of the teichachet, is to open up a person's eyes to see, to make a bedikah, to check out if his actions, if his conduct, does it fit with his great neshama. He was given a tremendous neshama. He is a chelik aloi kami mal. So when we hear these things that frighten us, we're supposed to make a cheshbon nefesh and to see, are we living up to the standards that are expected of us by the heilig and neshama that we've been given? Other than that, the purpose of instilling fear in us is to be mashmash Yerushamayim, to keep us on par with the way we're supposed to act. And once a person, taka, opens up his eyes and he takes it seriously, then there is no need for punishment. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was telling him over here. How are you chastening of my hambaking? I gave you musr just now. And I see that the musr scared you. That's really the tachlis shabbat. And if it instills fear in you, and it makes you think, and it makes you make a cheshbon and nefesh, that's all that's really necessary. HaKadosh Baruch is another rachman. HaKadosh Baruch doesn't want to harm us. Adarabba. He wants our best. So when he does say klolos, and when he does give teichachet, it's just meant to take it seriously and to open up our eyes. Once we do that, taka, then the tachlis is mekuyim. So Leib Chasman says, that's why later on it says in the pasuk, "V'hoya b'shama yas divrei ha'ola hazayis v'zbarach b'lavav he'leim r'shalom iyeh li ha'pis ki b'shrius li b'yelech." So then, it says, then Hashem is going to get angry, Hashem is not going to want to forgive him, and on him will taka b'chal all of the clothes. A person that says, everything will be good, that shows he's not taking it seriously. He is a true pyrek oil. And on him, the klolos, and on him, the teichicha, did not make a roshim at all. For such a person, HaKadosh Baruch is going to be angry, and he taken. Nachman al-Usman will receive the klolos. But for those that take it seriously, Adarabba, is the taking seriously that's the tachlis of the klolos. I saw a maisa brought down together with this machshava, that in the last year of his life, Baruch Ber, was on the eve of World War II. So he had just come back from a dacha. You know, he stayed, had a vacation in Druzgenik. That was the name of a place with forests. The air was very fresh there. He had just come back, and he was in the train station, I believe, or maybe it was the wagon station with the horses, I'm not quite sure. And he found out that his ksavim were left behind, and they're first coming with the next wagon. So he said, if my ksavim were still traveling, he couldn't go home unless he knew he was going to get those ksavim. Meanwhile, Talmidim from the yeshiva came out to greet him in the station there. The conversation came up about the war. The clouds of World War II were already gathering on Europe. So Baruch Ber repeated a conversation that he had with a couple of Rabbonim in the vacation resort. Question was, do you really think the war is going to break out? Is it really going to happen or not? So one of the Rabbonim, he was Avim Gadol, he said he does not believe Germany would be so stupid to start up with all of Europe. He says he doesn't think so. He only thinks that it's threats is out. The other Rav piped up and he says, I've been a Rav for many years. I've been Masada Kedushin by many chasmas. And I know when the chosm's there, when the kala's there, when the chutanim are there, when the tables are set, you know that there's a chasm. He says, everything here is set for war. They prepared themselves, they have everything set up. There's no question about it. They didn't do all of this ishtablis not to have a war. That's what he said. Then it was Rabbi Beresim. Rabbi said, they clapped from Himmel if unser Fenster. They're knocking from Shemaim on our windows, and they're saying the following. He says, if you'll shake off this Haskalah movement, if you're going to get rid of it, and you're going to get away from its Hashvah, then there's not going to be a war. But if you remain in this matzah, and you don't trace the Zechav from the Haskalah, then Rachman al-Assam is going to be a Mokham. And the clap, the defense there, and that's what they're telling us. Ein peronius bola oilam elabish fil Yisrael, he said. And that's they're giving us a message. If we don't shake off the Haskalah, then that would be. Sure enough, unfortunately, we know the end of the story. But that's the pshat, the clapped up the fenster. You know, the whole purpose of the Teichach is just to knock on our windows, to open up our eyes, to shake us up. And if we tackle listen, then there's no need to go through with the punishments. Pasuk goes on, V'hoya b'shama yizdivrei ha'ola hazois. V'zborech b'lvavai leimor sholem yeh li ki b'shvius li b'yelech of all my heart's desire. The Gemara Masech to Sanhedrin that I involve him in Bay says, Hamazer Aveda Lukusi, if somebody gives back an Aveda, he's Makayim HaShavas Aveda to a guy, all of our course of Oimer, Laman Svois, Harava, Es Hatzmeya, to attach the satisfied one with the thirsty one. Rashi says, Tzmeya, that's Knesset Yisrael. They're always thirsty to come close to Hashem. Raga, the satisfied one, those are the Goyim. Yeah, you know, they have no inclination to get close to Hashem. They have no inclinations for any Sheifas. I think one of the best examples of that is we see the different Hanhagas during this COVID virus. How Yidden, they were clamoring, open the shuls, open the schools, open the Yeshivas. They were doing everything possible. The Goyim still are barely... You know, they're clamoring, opening, how should we open with masks, not with masks, until all the teachers are vaccinated, you can't have school, you have to vaccinate. They're thinking of everything shayach with the teachers union, of course, you know, the most powerful unions in America. You know, how to avoid having the regular classes. The quicker we start our avodah, the better. And by the gun, you don't find that. So someone that's meishav avodah to a guy, so he's over about him. It said, "Laman shvoyz harova es hatzmeya," to attach the satisfied one to the thirsty one, and he's over on that. L'chayu, what's the chasar? You give back an aveda to a guy. Now, of course, this is all applies. If there's not going to be a chilul Hashem b'davar, and if you have an opportunity to make mikdash Hashem, then ad rabba. The Rizka Rav's daughter once said over a Maisa, Rebbetzin Lipschitz, Feinstein, she said over a Maisa, she was a young girl, she was taking a walk through the forest, and she found a brand new axe, a hatchet, you know, chopped down. So she took it, she picked it up, you know, there's no simonim, no indication whose it is. She brought it home. Rizka Rav is busy learning, and he sees what he had here, and she says, I found it in the forest. He closed his gemara, he got up with her, walked through the forest. They walked through the entire path, and on the other end of the forest was a goyish watchman that was watching over the forest. He was in his booth there, and the rav asked him, did you by any chance lose a new axe? Oh, you found it. Where is it? He shows him, you know, my daughter found it. Oy! And he says, the bench is the god of the Jews that they're so honest or whatever. So she said later on, she said, the whole Maisa took about a half hour. What my father could have accomplished over the Gemara and over a Rambam in a half hour was my boy. Yet he found it necessary to be Mechanachmi, that in such an instance, with his Ashayil of Chilul Hashem, he will have to return it. We're talking about over here where it's not Negei Chilul Hashem and Kiddush Hashem, that's not the question. So somebody that gives back an Aveda is Oivro Man Sfoisa Roves Hatzmei. What's the big obligation to give back an aveda to a guy? You're being nice. What's so terrible? So I think the middle says, the pasuk itself says what it is. Special privileges were given to Yid. A Yid that's an Ayin Hashem, he's a Bria B'fnei Atzmai. And if you treat a guy the same way you treat a Yid, then that means you're showing that you don't know that there's a chiluk, or you don't believe that there's a chiluk. A Yid is a Bria B'fnei Atzmai. A Yid is an Hashem, is a chiluk of Oikam Yimal. You can't say that. Even if a guy, is, let's say, has a Tzelem Elikim, but it's a merchuk mizruch l'mayir, but you do what the Kuzmi says, that there are four basic elements in the Bria. There's Doimein, Soimeach, there's Chai, and there's Medaber. An inanimate object like a stone, and then you have a plant, and then you have a Chai, an animal, and then you have a Medaber. Everybody understands the chilukim between that. The Kuzmi says that on top of that, you have a new Bria that's called the Ben Yisrael. That's a totally different world, a totally different Bria. So I'm not Soisa Rabbis at Smei, if you put the two together, you know, in today's world, all men are created equal. It's not true. It's not true. A Yid is a Bria B'fnei Atzmai. And a Yid has a special Achrayis, and he's Makabal on himself, Achrayis, the whole Malach HaShemayim. And a guy's not like that. And if you show that you're putting them together, and you're not being Mechali between the two, you're missing the boat on an Iker of life. L'man Soisa Rabbis at Smei. It also shows that you're doing the mitzvah not because of Hashem, you're doing the mitzvah because you're doing what you think is right. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said not to do it. And you're doing it, that shows that you're not doing it because of what Hashem said. You're doing it because of what you think is right.
So referring to a guy is an Isser?
Yeah.
So the Kiddush Hashem, the Miskarab overrides it?
Yeah. It's a Shai of Chilul Hashem. Let's say the guy would find that. Something like that, yeah. It takes Kadima, yeah.
You said that we say it all the time in the stores when we're buying shopping, buying something, and the guy actually gives too much money, too much dishes.
Right, so there's a need of returning it, sure. There's a Maisa Shahaya also with Rabbarabah. Rabbarabah once walked into his house, and there was a worker working there. So Rabbarabah greeted him, good day, in Polish. Fine. The fellow was chuckling to himself. Rabbi was wondering why he's laughing. He said, yes, the Rebbe, and find out what's he laughing at. The Rebbe said, yes. He says, the Rebbe Kiment is a Benagoy. Yeah, he greeted me in Polish. So Rebbe turned white like a sheet. Oi, Zaitzma Meichel, please be Meichel, please be Meichel. He's begging him for Mechila. So he says, garnish, you know, he's a Rebbe Zagoy. I mean, he's enough. So Rebbe says, what's haste? Du weißt was a Yid is? And he's being masmet him what a Yid is, how a Yid is a Bria B'fnei Atzmai, how a Yid is Kaddish, and how a Yid is that, and you know, he builds up. He says, now you're Michael. That's a Baruch Ben. Yeah, he, by mistake, he thought he was a guy. He took it very seriously. Oh, but that's the man, Svoysa Rava Es Atzmeya, that we have to realize that Yidin are special, Yidin are Bria B'fnei Atzmai. This little past there at Shabbos, I had a nice, my son was here from Lakewood with my daughter-in-law, and one of the babies wasn't breathing properly. So we called that soul a neighbor, and he didn't like what he heard, so right away, within a minute, we had four or five Atzola guys there, you know, in the clan, whatever. And I was thinking to myself, me can't believe so, Baruch Hashem, they had to go to the hospital. Turned out to be nothing, they came, you know, right back. I'm thinking to myself, Mikam Yisrael, Go Yechad Bar. It's unbelievable. It's a Klal Yisrael's a Bria B'fnei Atzma. You can't even. It's not shy to compare. They're in a world unto themselves. The pasuk goes on to say, V'hoya B'shamay is Divrei Ha'olah Hazois. Same pasuk. V'zbarach V'vavay Lamer Shalom Yieli. Ki B'shvirus Libi Eilech. Man Soitza Rabbis Atzmeya. So the Farshim asked the Kasha, how in the world could a person say this? Keep a shvizli be'elach. I mean, you have to be an episode, a little bit of seichel. You heard the klalos, you heard the teichicha, you heard what the ramifications are. So how in the world could a person say shvizli be'elach? So I once heard a Mayur Dikiv Shat, and you see it mamish in today's life. You have people that say, anything is not the action that you do. You put on phylacteries or you put on the fringes. You have to be a Jew at heart. It's all in the heart. I love every Jew. I'm proud. I have Jewish pride. I personally feel tikkun olam is the more important thing. You know, global warming is a major issue. You know, I think that I'm going to dedicate my life to global warming, or to dedicate my life to the humanistic sciences, you know, love of my fellow men and such. So they fool themselves into thinking that they're taked doing some sort of an avodah. B'shvirus libyei, like what my heart tells me to do. Not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells me to do, nor b'shvirus libyei, like. And they talk and mean, at least they think they mean, they talk and mean l'shem shemayim. It's all in the heart, what my heart tells me to do. I'll dedicate my life to being a vegetarian, you know, animals' rights, I'm going to dedicate my life to that, and so on. And this is a very moral thing, but the other things, you know, the relationships with God and such like that, he doesn't really care. What does he care if we put on phylacteries, or we keep Shabbat, or we keep this, or b'shvirus libi eilech. So on that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're not only bringing hashchosa to yourself, you're bringing hashchosa to mankind, to the entire Bria. Because if you don't keep mitzvahs and you don't believe that there's a Borei Olam and they have to follow the standards that the Borei Olam sets, then you can go off any direction, whatever your heart tells you. If your heart tells you today that the most mushchizdik people, the most mushchizdik lifestyle, it's all relative. They decide that this is right for them. We decide this is right for us. Live and let live. And that way the world goes to pot. So you're destroying HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Bria. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to forgive such a person. Because not only are you destroying your ruchnias, but by not living up to standards and not believing that there's a Borei Olam, you're destroying the entire world. There was a time that the Yidden were the light of the world. And that means that we set the standards and the Goyim learned from us and they followed Taka and they respected us because they knew that we had certain standards and the whole world has to live by that and abide by that. Today we're living in a world of precursor, where that is looked down upon, any standards are looked down upon, and look at how the world is falling apart, look how America is falling apart, because there are no standards. Any moral standards were gotten from the Yid. They were the light of the world. But Kibishvivus Libi Eilek, I'm going to go close to my heart's desire, what my heart tells me, Torah tells us, the heart is mushka by taiva, the heart is mushka by a person's personal negiya, and that could take a person off the derech totally and cause tremendous hashchosa in both his life and the life of other people around
him. But the good heart is a complement to the mitzvahs and any assistance. In other words,
he
supposed to use the heart for what?
If you live by standards, the word alive the abaya, alive the rabba, alive. What his heart tells him, the heart is a gevaldige zach. Hashem gave us a spiritual heart. Person has to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chol levavcha with regesh and so on, but it has to be guided by the standards of the Torah.
So if Moshe, you have a person who's a lumen and he's drowning, right? That's what to say.
If what?
A person's a kaitre.
Yeah, right. So there's certain halachas that we have to abide by, yeah. The Omer Hador HaAchron. And the last generation, b'neichem asher yakuma mi'achareichem, your sons that are going to go up after you, v'ro es makris ha'aretz ahi, and they're going to see the plagues that HaKadosh Baruch Hu afflicts Eretz Yisrael with, gofris v'melach, sulfur and salt, shreifa kol aretzah, the whole land will be burnt up, k'ma'apechas doim v'amayra, like the overturning was doim and amayra. V'amru kol ha'goyim, and the goyim will say, Almeh osa Hashem kochel aretz hazayis. V'amru al ha'sha'ozu es bris Hashem. They will say, it's because Klal Yisrael left the covenant of Hashem. So Yecheskel Abramsky asks two questions over here. Number one, it says, Gofriz v'melach shreifa kol aretz ha? K'ma'apechas doim v'amayru. What is the Torah being moisif over here? K'ma'apechas doim v'amayru. We know. Governors of Melas Rafa Kalaritz is enough of a clock. The whole place will be destroyed by sulfur and by salt. So what are we adding by saying Kima Pechas Naivamir? We know that Naivamir was destroyed that way. But what's the marshal adding over here? Number two, what is this Va'amru? The Pasuk starts out saying, Va'amr Hador Ha'achrim B'nei Mashay Yakumu. And they will say, they'll see governors of Melas. Right? Kima peches doim v'amayru. V'amru kol ha'goyim. What's this v'amru v'amru? They will say kima peches doim v'amayru. And the goyim are going to say, because they left the bris. What exactly is going on here with these v'amrus? So I'm going to be Cheskel Obransky. That the Torah is telling us over here, there's going to come a time that people are going to be so far removed from Ruchnias. They're going to be so far removed, Hadoira Achren, like unfortunately we see today. They'll be so far removed from Ruchnias that when they see the destruction, they're not going to be toiled in the fact that we're not listening to the mitzvahs. They're going to say, it's because they weren't good to each other, because they weren't Isaac in humanism, they weren't nice to each other. They don't believe B'chlal in any Shibutak HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bein Adam L'Malkin. One thing, Efshah, they believe, they don't even believe in that. That's a good excuse. But they believe at least in humanism, being nice to one another. Everybody, all men are created equal, whether you're a mushkis, whether you're a convict or whatever, makes no difference. Everyone's created equal. The humanism. So they're not going to be toiled in the fact that we went against Hashem. They're going to say, Kim HaPeichas Noim Ba'amayra. The reason why this is happening is, just like Zayman and Amayra, they were bad men, Adam L'Chavei, right? Right? This is why it's happening nowadays also. Even the Goyim are going to be able to recognize that that's not the only reason. It's because Asha Ozvu as Bris Hashem, because they left the covenant. You have Goyim today talking from a Goyim. They have certain Asadu, the Rahman al-Islam, Yidden don't have. The Yidden that are off the Derech totally. So they're going to say, give my papers, name by Myra. It's Garfus from Melach. And take a look. It's exactly like Snaiman and Myra. It must be, it's because of the same reason. Not because they went against Hashem. It's because they're not nice to each other. They're not treating everybody equal. But Amru HaGoyim, the Goyim are going to say, it's Al Ozvim, it's Bris Hashem. It's not just because they're not nice to each other. It's because they went away from the treaty of Hashem. The pasuk goes on to say, "V'hoya ki avoyu olecha kol hadvarim ha'ele habracha v'haklola asher nasati levanecha." When it will come upon you, the bracha and the klola that I gave before you, the shafta ad Hashem alekecha, and you'll return to Hashem. You'll do tshuva. So we asked a question last year, and I saw again this year another pshat. Bishloima. That the klola will come upon a person who'll do tshuva because of that. That's the tendency of people, and they get punished, they make a cheshbon and nefesh, and they come back. But what's pshat v'hoye ki yavoyu alecha kol hadvarim habracha v'haklola? How's the bracha going to make you return? Generally speaking, we know that people have it good, they remain complacent, and they don't do tshuva. Adarav, it says, v'yishman yeshur and v'yivot, Chal Yisrael became fattened up and they kicked. Shomanto, Aviso, Kosiso, you became fat, you became thick, you became overgrown. Vayita Shalakali say, and he deserted Hashem that created him. So what's the pshat over here? How's the bracha going to bring them back? So I saw brought down B'Shem the Sefer Evan Shlema from Shlema Ehrenreich. I think he was the Shamler of. And he said a pshat. But in order to say the pshat, the Sefer brings down a Maisa Shoya. There was a Yid in Bnei Brak. His name was Rav Shaul Reuven. And he was a Rosh HaKoil in Afula. So one time he happened to run into a chief of police. And he got into a conversation. So the chief of police tells him, Kvoda Rav, we have something here in jail. And we don't know what to do with it. Maybe you could help us. You have a guy in jail. He's been in jail for the longest period of time. He doesn't want to give his wife a get. And no matter how long he's there, all the talking in the world sells garnish. So maybe you could have an aid. So maybe you could somehow or other be my spy on him or whatever. So he says, I'll be happy to meet with him. Fine. He meets the fellow. He talks to him. He schmoozes with him. He goes back to the chief of police afterwards and he says, I'll tell you. He says, this fellow's never going to give a get. Why? He's been in jail for so long. He hasn't good there. You know, he hasn't good there. You know, he's forgotten what it means to have freedom. He doesn't know what that is. He's been there for so long. He thinks this is normal. So if he's in a normal place, he has no impetus. He has no motivation to give a get. My suggestion would be is, if you could free him from jail for a half a year, and he tastes freedom, and then you put him back in jail, you know, after he's tasted freedom, that might motivate. So that was a good idea, and he started working through the red tape, and they had to work with Knesset members, Mitalzadeh. They had him freed for about a half a year, and then they tried speaking to him again about the Getty Woodlands, and they put him back in jail again. And sure enough, it worked. Sure enough, it worked, and he ended up giving the get. So he said, that's shot over here as well. If Klal Yisrael would only be given tzaras, and one tzara after another, and Golas, they get used to it already, and they live with it. It's like the mice in the road that get used to the poison, and they live with it, and they feed off of the poison. So then it wouldn't motivate them to do anything. So for that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from time to time, he gives them bracha, and he frees them from the tzaras, and they taste freedom, and then he puts them back again into such a matzav, and now taka, that's ma'ir them to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's shot in the pasuk, v'hoyo ki avoyu e'lecha kol advar ma'ela, ha'bracha v'ha'klola. Hashem is going to send bracha in the middle, but only so that the klola should have an effect. Coming closer to Rosh Hashanah, so I want to share with you a ma'ir the kipshat I saw from the Satmar Rebbe, Zechat Sadi B'Kodesh L'Bracha. Ki Yodua, the Gemara says in the Sechtes Rosh Hashanah Daf Tes Zayin, Loma Toikin Umeirin Kishen Yoishin. Why do we blow shofar before Shemoneh Esrei when Mikra Eden you're allowed to sit? The Loma Toikin Umeirin Kishen Oinden. And why do they do it over again during Shemoneh Esrei when they're standing? Kidei La'arvei V'Zasotim. In order to confuse the Sotim. How does this confuse the Satan? So Rashi says, when he sees that Klal Yisrael is mechavek the mitzvahs, he has to keep quiet. What's pshat? He says Klal Yisrael is not doing this, and they're not doing that, and they don't keep this mitzvah, and they don't keep that mitzvah, and they're lax on this, and lax on that. Here Klal Yisrael, we will mekayim the first 30 koilos, is yoytze every sheet in true. You will mekayim the mitzvah, will be kol adeis. Tkia truat kia, tkia shvarm tkia, tkia shvarm truat kia. All the sheet is Yomakayim. And then, we're not satisfied with that. We do it over again. And we're Machabi, the mitzvahs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, what are you talking about? Take a look. There were Yoytze every single sheet, and they're still doing it over again. And you're telling me that I'm Machabi, the mitzvahs? Be quiet. And he has to keep quiet. Rukhi Vegas says another knetch to this Rashi. Rukhi Vegas says like this, it's a Dabri Yadua, that if Klal Yisrael does tshuva meyira, then zdoin is nasu shdogis. But if they do tshuva meyahava, then the zdoin is nasu zachis, they become mitzvahs. So the Satan is piling on one aveir after another aveir, and he keeps on saying it. And here Klal Yisrael is already mekayim the mitzvah of shofar, and then they do it over again, and they show that they're doing it mitoch ahava. So every mitzvah that comes out of the mouth of the Satan turns into a pile of mitzvahs. The male has to keep quiet. Taisus quotes the famous Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that when the Satan hears the shofar for the first time, it's okay. He gets to Tresel, but he says, it's a regular mitzvah of shofar. But then they're doing it a second time. What's this? What's the shofar all about? Oi, could be it's the shofar of Mashiach. And he knows that when Mashiach comes, then he's history. So maybe he keeps quiet, he doesn't say anything. So this is more like fooling the Satan. Famous question we all ask when we were kids. The first year we pulled this trick on the Satan. Fine, it worked. Maybe the second year, maybe he didn't remember from the year before. We're talking about many centuries later, and every day, every year, we pull the same trick when we think that by now he caught on already. What's the pshat that we're fooling this up? So Satmar Rebbe says, I'm going to keep pshat al pi his zayde, the Yismach Moshe. Yismach Moshe says, it sounds like from the Satmar Rebbe that he saw this matter himself. That up in Shemayim on Rosh Hashanah by night, every malach that's in charge of every one of the nations comes up in front of the Beis Mishnah, and they come and they ask for the needs of that particular country. We need this, and we need this. and they're granted, they decide whether they should be granted this or not. Like it says, they're all granted, they're all being judged. Then after everybody's finished being judged, the Melech HaMashiach comes in front of the Bez Mishamayla, and he pleads the case of Klal Yisrael. He says, we've been in Golos for so long, and he presents all the tzaras of Klal Yisrael. Take a look what happened. Take a look at this tragedy and that tragedy and that tragedy, one after the other, and the oil is so terrible, and we're in the Golos, and we're surrounded. He presents the case as Zayki Levoi. He says, if they would listen to Mashiach, the simcha would be neiru v'ayim. But unfortunately, they say, no, the time has not yet come. The Mashiach lets out a loud cry. He's mevuzah in front of all of these sorim, of all the mezaylim, and they laugh at him, and they scoff at him, and they put him down, and he has to leave the bezayim. And he said, that's the matter, the way it looks. It sounds like from the Satmar Rebbe, he saw this once. It's Amaisa, it's up to Satmar Rebbe. Every year Mashiach comes with another load of tzaras of Klal Yisrael, and he puts it in front of the Bez Mishamayla. And every year the taina gets stronger and stronger. So it comes out that the shofar of last year is ain't nedaima to the shofar of this year. Because the shofar of this year, when we blow, has the zechuyos of all of those tzaras, that peckle of Klal Yisrael, that they suffered in this past year that they didn't suffer before. The Satan knows better than anybody else how potent that is, how powerful that is, and how it enhances the chance of Mashiach Taka coming this year. So it could be hundreds and hundreds of years that they went through the same thing, and the Satan is never at ease. If anything, he becomes more of a pachad with the passing of every year, because with the passing of every year, there's another load of tzaras. Those are the Hailing of Satan, the Rebbe, the Arab, the Satan. And they, you know, if we just push a little bit more, you know, during Tkiya Shofar, with Shabbos, Tfilas Takadosh Baruch Hu, Yerzeh Hashem, we should be zeichah this year, Takabi, Emesdik, Ksimah Chasima Toiva, Ksimah Chasima Toiva, that will finally bring the Geula, we zeichah the Mashiach Tzitkenu, the Meir of Yemenu, Amen.
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 I have a
supplement
that I'm not blowing air, but
Shana. What's that?
I have a supplement that I'm not blowing air, but Shana.
No, totally different thing.
Which